If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Hump Day edition, a little bit later, getting started than I wanted to be, and had a chance to interview Coach Mike Bianco for an exclusive one-on-one interview that is available at jeanspage.com. If you're a member of 247 Sports, you can get access to that. Check out what Coach had to say. We'll talk a little bit about that in our show today, but not give away too much. Recap our Southern Miss game. It kind of went like last year, but even more dominating, right? I got a lot to say about that. We'll look around the Southeastern Conference for of 16 SEC teams lost last night. That's one thing Bianco and I talked about. Is this happening more often, or is it just getting more publicized because we have more college baseball media? Right? Because now, like, when a team closes out a big Power Four team, but next thing you know, immediately it's on reels and on social media. So you wonder about that aspect of it. But that's neither here nor there. We won. Matter of fact, I would suggest we're probably the only team in the Southeastern Conference that doesn't have a clunker of a loss. I hate losing. But if I'm going to lose, I want to lose to somebody that's on par or comparable, right? That's the case. Mississippi State now 21-4. I did the math today. It's the best start since 2019. Bulldogs opened that year 22-3. You may recall, too, the Bulldogs ended up a top eight national seed that year. Yeah, interesting type stuff. And the notebook is free. You can go read it if you'd like to. But the 1985 team, Clark and Palmeiro, also opened 21-4. That team also went to Omaha and should have won a national championship. The 2016 SEC championship team, 17-7-1. And the 1989 team, the one that many consider the greatest in school history, opened the year 20-5. So this start is among the best in school history. And each of those teams we talked about won something of significance. 89 and 16 won the SEC. 85 team, of course, legendary. Also went to Omaha. And again, should have won an AFL championship. 19 team, top eight national. 2016 team, top eight national. And then your NAFL championship team of 2021. What do you think? They started 18-7. So this team is ahead of that pace. So on pace with some of the greatest teams in school history. No ifs, ands, buts about that. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. Man, I love them. I do. I love going in there, whether I'm going to sit down and eat or I'm taken with. Because they've mastered the to-go order, but they've also mastered quality service inside the restaurant. So incredibly well-staffed, well-trained. And that adds a little something to it, because you guys know customer service is a dying art form in our culture. A lot of times you go to a place, they just throw your food at you and then come back and flip a screen around and said, it's going to ask you some questions. Well, I got some questions for you, right? Where were you when I needed my drink filled, right? You don't have to worry about that at Bulldog Burger Company. They stay on top of things. Again, it's so incredibly well managed. You can have a great dining experience, whether it's a lunch with work colleagues or a night out with friends or family. Have an adult beverage if you choose to. Find your own favorites. If you don't know Bulldog Burger Company, let me give you some intel, okay? Just start with the Bulldog Burger itself. It's the signature burger. You could never go wrong ordering the Bulldog Burger, period. But if you want to branch out on a wild side a little bit, they've got plenty of options. Of course, those new Smash Burgers. And right now when I say Smash Burgers, you're thinking, I've never had one of those. I think I may want to check it out. Well, you should. You should. I'm going to get in there tomorrow at the latest. And I'm going to have one of those Smash Burgers and we'll have a review on Friday's show. Couldn't pull it off yesterday. That's life in a big city. Speaking of cities, three great locations to serve you. University Drive here in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer that make you and everybody around you better looking, and get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay. Now, I think most of us, expected to win that game last night with some margin. I don't know any of us expected the dominating performance that we got. But we did. We got it done. We did. And so we're going to work through this. And last year we split with them. We went down there. We didn't play well last year. This year we didn't play well down there too. And we were kind of instrumental for a second consecutive year. And I don't know why that atmosphere gave us trouble two consecutive years. You know, we had those errors last year, but we didn't hit the baseball, right? This year, drop a pop fly, a couple wild pitches. After we've dug ourselves out of a hole, we have a 6-5 lead and then ultimately give the lead back. And it was kind of a redemption moment last night for Maddox Miller. And we'll get to that shortly. Your Bulldogs, again, now 21-4 and a perfect 17-0 at home. Man, you like the sound of that, don't you? You like leaving Duty Noble Field happy and not having to listen to that stupid Dave Matthews Band song. What, Ants Marching, is that what it is? I know some of you guys are nerds. I get it. I love you anyway, but I hate hearing that song. And maybe because I equate it with losing. But either way, I hate hearing it. It did not take the Bulldogs long to get going. Now, the Crabtree kid, Thomas Crabtree, product of Pearl River Community College, transferred to Tennessee, then down to Southern Miss. And there was one Southern Miss beat guy there, and he says, this is going to go really well or really poorly. And I suspect most midweek pitchers are in line for something to happen really poorly. Chris Billingsley started for us. Many of you had some of those same concerns about Chris. Now, Chris has been a starter much of his life, and a lot of times those guys need the time to mentally prepare. But I understand your concern. This is an important non-conference game for us. This is a top 12 team. This is a team that will help us in the RPI. They were one in the RPI yesterday. And so, yeah, we wanted to be able to win this ball game, and many of you thought we were like white flagging this thing. We weren't. But many people felt that way because you want the Bulldogs to win. It's nothing against Chris personally. You just want to win the game. It's a big week for us. But Billingsley gets he faces the minimum in the first. He gives up a single to center on a 1-2 count, and then we get a double play. We're out of it, and then we get a K swinging. You could just kind of see in Billingsley's countenance, like he just kind of a hop, skip, and a jump off the mound there. It's like, okay, let's go. Let's go. Didn't take the Bulldogs too terribly long. Teal with a single up to right center, and then Ace Reese singles to left, takes that ball the other way. They walk Sully, and great, again, 80 graded bat. Sully gets down 0-2 and works it for a walk to load the bases. Well, here comes the pitching coach. They already had a guy warming up, right? They already had Armstead warming up already. Reed Stallman strikes out swinging, got up 2-0 in this count, and got a couple fastballs and just couldn't turn them around. That's your first out, and then Fry singles up the middle, two runs scores, makes it 2-0. That's it for Crabtree. That's it. J.W. Armstead comes in. A guy that can change paces, too. He's a good pitcher. He is. But second pitch of the appearance for Armstead is a single through the left side. It chases a run and makes it 3-0. And then from there, he gets out of it. All right, Bill Winsley back out for the second. He gets the first two quick, then gives up a two-out double to Gray Eubanks, but gets a tapper out at first. And it goes off of Billingsley to Fry, who then throws him out. So 3-0 as we go to the bottom of second. They bring in Drake Meeks in place of Armstead. One-out single for Aiden Teal. And two at-bats later, Sullivan singles through the left side and allows Teal to score. Of course, Teal advanced to second on a ground out from Ace Reese. But now it's a 4-0 ball game. And I think right now, all of you begin to kind of relax. You're like, hey, we're ready. Well, one of the reasons we're ready is because we knew that we were better than them down in Hattiesburg. And we aided in our own demise. They're a really good team. Mississippi State is a great team. And I can promise you, Southern Miss is rooting that they don't get paired up with Mississippi State in a super regional. And the truth of the matter is, Southern Miss's weekend pitching is very good. Oz does a great job. I would love to see both of these teams in Omaha. Hey, let's meet up in Omaha in a bracket, and we'll kind of settle the tie there. It's fine with me, right? So we bring in Jack Bauer. Hadn't pitched in about 3 weeks. Brian O'Connor said that was all very intentional. They had some mechanical things they wanted to work out with Jack. I think you saw that. Part of that is extension. Jack is a long, tall drink of water, and he really wasn't using the slope as well as he should. Parker begins to work with him. We do some body movement exercising. We get down, and next thing you know, he's hitting 100 with ease. And he's also getting greater extension. So the ball is on the hitter much, much quicker. Release point comes a little bit later. A lot of guys that are tall kind of throw standing up, and that was kind of Jack's situation. Jack is going to be a phenomenal pitcher at Mississippi State. You just got to give Justin Parker and Jack a little time. Bauer comes in, gets Seth Smith to strike out swinging. And then Tonsfer flies out to center. Then Urban flies out to center. So 1-2-3 inning for Jack. And then we're back on the sticks, baby. They bring in Dylan Causey, who pitched against Mississippi State last year. Fry with a single to right. Then still second. Woodson then walks. And then Justin Parker. Justin. Man, I tell you what. It's Jacob Parker, by the way. Justin Parker did a good job, too. But this is Jacob Parker, who hits a three-run home run down the line to make it a 7-0 ball game. Guys, this kid's going to be a top 10 draft pick when he's finished. Had a friend send me some analytics earlier about what he's done already as a freshman against the rest of the field in college baseball. The numbers are mind-boggling. And he's a freshman. That's it for Dylan Causey. They bring in Kevin Landry and Maluski welcomes him on an 0-2 pitch. He catches too much of the plate. Maluski guides that ball in the left. And then Chance grounds out, and then Teal hits an absolute smoking rocket to right field to make it 9-0. And from there, they get out of it. Right now, all of you guys are not just feeling good. You're feeling great. Now you're starting to think, hey, is this thing going to go 7 innings? Well, you got your wish there. Bauer back out for top of four. We get Morrison to fly out to center field, and then they go pull him and bring in Jack Gleason. And I had a chance to visit with Jack Gleason's dad last night, just kind of one-on-one. Super nice guy, man. Super nice guy. And really think a lot of Jack, and I've met Jack's mom and, his mom and his aunt. Yeah. And to be honest with you, Jack is my favorite Gleason, the Ant, number two. Davis Gillespie, the Devils down the right field line to greet Gleason. And then we get a hit by pitch. And then from there, Jack just kind of bears down and says, nope, I'm not yielding anything here. Back-to-back strikeouts. Southern Miss gets nothing. Bruce Little comes on, or Littleton comes on for Southern Miss in the fourth. And he hits Stallman on a full count. Drew Weyers pinch hits for Fry. In the middle of that at-bat, Stallman still second. Weyers flies out to center field, but because the stolen base came earlier, he's able to tag and take third. And then Woodson singles through the left side to drive in the run to make it 10-0. Now the countdown is on, right? Nothing really going for Southern Miss here in the top of five. They get an infield single, and from there, Parker Rhodes is just like, guys, it's over. Accept it. He strikes out the side, all three, and kind of lengthy at-bats, but he finishes. And for young pitchers, that's one of the things they struggle with is finishing hitters. Because so many guys at this level can just spoil a pitch. Even if they're fooled on it, sometimes they can drag the bat and just kind of punch it back or just get a little contact on it and foul it back and spoil the pitch. And so to see Parker Rhodes finishing hitters, especially a team the caliber of Southern Miss in a midweek, it's one thing, you know, if it was Louisiana College. It's not. It's Southern Miss. And they're worthy of our respect. And so for a freshman to go in there and be able to finish those guys, I think is very significant. All right, bottom five, they bring in Sam Mitchell. And I thought Sam did some good things for Southern Miss. I mean, granted, he got knocked about a little bit, but the stuff is real. He just got to get bigger, faster, stronger. I mean, he's a freshman. Chance opens it up with a single to the left side, then Teal singles again. Chases Chance to third. Ace Reese grounds out to the pitcher. Bryce has to hold, but Aiden takes second. Sully walks again to load the bases. And then Stallman singles through the right side. We have a couple runs score, makes it 12-0. That ultimately caps the scoring. Teague Broadhead comes in for Mitchell and does a nice job here. He gets a pop-up, and he hits a guy, but is able to get out of it with a ground out to short. Top of six. Valencius comes in at right. We bring in Dane Burns. He gets it's a lefty-lefty matchup situation. He gets Morrison, who is the hottest hitter in the Southern Miss lineup, to ground back to the pitcher. And that's it. And maybe that's going to be Dane's role at times, to be the matchup guy. Granted, he wants to pitch as much as he can. But as of late, that's kind of what he's been. We bring in Maddox Webb, and it was interesting how this whole thing kind of played out here in the seventh. But we'll get to that shortly. Gillespie gets on a throwing error. It's kind of a wild – it's a play that ranges Stallman off the bag, and he has to make a very athletic play and throw back to first. The throw is a little bit wide. So Gillespie's on, and then Maddox Webb says, hey, Reed, I got it. Strikeout swing and pop up to second. Good work. And I love Maddox Webb's mentality. I do. Bottom of the sixth, we have not only Raymond strikes out, Andrew Raymond, not Corey. He's a former LSU secondary coach. But Raymond strikes out swinging. I didn't think it was a great at bat. Not only nearly pokes one out of the yard at center. I mean, if we're like a half click earlier on the point of contact, that ball's over the fence. And then Beavis hits for Teal, and he grounds out to second. Things got a little wild here in the seventh. I was just hoping they wouldn't hit a three-run bomb. We'd have to play another inning. I was ready to go home. Not that I'm ready to be away from Duty Noble Field. I was just ready to have this one in the books and let's go celebrate, right? You guys felt the same way. We get Eubanks to go down looking. They bring in Lawson Odom, and he hits a routine fly ball to left, and we fell down. And then the same thing happens. Seth Smith hits a single to right field, and we misplay that one. So now all of a sudden, both of those hits are charged against Maddox Webb, even though he got relatively routine fly balls to both sides. And that's a couple guys that hadn't played a lot of outfield here as of late. I'm not judging them. I'm just saying it's just kind of unfortunate how it happens. We get a strikeout swinging, and then Urban singles to the shortstop to load the bases. And Kyle Morrison, again, the Golden Eagle hero, goes down swinging. That's your ballgame. 12-0 Diamond Dogs. Again, we expected to win, maybe not in that way. take a quick look inside the numbers. And again, as someone pointed out yesterday, State had scored 12 innings in a row. We don't score in the six, which snaps the streak. When you score in five, six innings of ball game, chances are you're going to win. That's just how it works. You don't score eight innings, you're not going to win. Real quickly here, though, Aiden Teal, 4-for-4 in the ball game. 4-for-4. And he got pinch hit for in his final at bat. But 4-for-4, right? We've known who our leadoff hitter was going to be. And again, there's a method to the madness of Brian O'Connor. He moved Teal around a little bit, too, and wanted to give Nunley some opportunities early in the season. But this lineup appears to be settling for the most part. Ace Reese, 1-for-4. We've got to have a big weekend at Ace this weekend in Oxford. Noah Sullivan goes 1-for-2 with a run scored and two walks, also has the RBI. Reed Stallman, 1-for-3 with a couple of ribbies. Garrett Fry goes 2-for-2, couple of RBI for him as well, and a run scored. Ryder Woodson goes 2-for-2. Like, all this stuff gets lost, right? You just look up and down the order, man, and Bulldogs are getting after it. 2-for-2, two RBI for Woodson, and a run scored. And of course, Jacob Parker goes 1-for-3 with a three-run home run. And Maluski goes 1-for-3, and then Bryce Chance goes 1-for-3. So for those of you that couldn't do the math as we went along here, every Mississippi State starter had a hit. When that happens, there's a good chance you're going to win. Good chance you're going to win. And again, this isn't against Southern U. All respect to the Jags. It's a really good Southern Miss team. One of the best teams Southern Miss baseball has probably had. And granted, it's a midweek situation, but there's a lot of pride in that program. They didn't just lay down for us. State, 12 runs on 14 hits that have the one error. Southern Miss goes no runs on 7 hits. And again, 3 of those hits come in the 7th inning. So up until the final inning of the game, they scattered 4 hits throughout the ballgame. And I read some commentary, well, we're just not having competitive at-bats. Well, sometimes that happens when you have people that are strike throwers. And Mississippi State had a ton of strike throwers last night. Joey Urban, one of the best hitters in the Sun Belt Conference, had a couple of hits. Of course, one of those comes in the ninth when the edge is off. But don't mistake that. Urban's a dude. Kyle Morrison, the hottest hitter in the lineup, goes 0-for-4. What a great job by Justin Parker and his staff. Matthew Russo goes 0-for-1. He also got hit in the leg and had to come out of the game. You hope it's nothing serious. Dre Barrett, 0-for. Gray Eubanks had that double early in the ballgame. Tucker Stockman, the guy that walked off Ole Miss, had one hit in the game. But they moved some stuff around. But, man, you look at kind of what we did from a pitching standpoint. Jack Bauer credited with his first college win. But Chris Billingsley really set the table well for this pitching staff. Gives up 2 hits, one of those of the infield variety. But he goes 2 innings, 2 hits, no runs, 2 strikeouts, no walks. And that last one's probably the thing you're happiest about. Just go out there and compete in his own. He got 3 groundouts, too. You love that. 33 pitches. And you know what? As O'Connor said last night, it probably gets him another midweek start next week. Yeah. And I think you guys would be a little more enthusiastic about that going into next week, right? Jack Bauer goes 1 1/3, no hits, no runs, the 1 strikeout, faced just 4 hitters, retires them all. Jack Gleason, our buddy, 2/3 of an inning, gives up 1 hit, but also a couple punchies, did have that hit by pitch. Parker Rhodes gives up 1 hit and then strikes out everybody. Crazy. Dane Burns gets the 1 hitter and gets him retired as well on a ground out. Maddox Webb goes 2/3 of an inning with a strikeout, no hits, no runs. Faced 3 hitters, got a fly out, strikeout. And then Maddox Miller. You got to think Maddox Miller, a kid that grew up from Oak Grove High School, was probably a little bit amped to be throwing at Pete Taylor Park, right? I mean, he's got a lot of friends there, maybe an ex-girlfriend or two, maybe a couple former teammates, maybe some guys that he struck out in high school. But Maddox didn't have a great performance at Southern Miss. And a lot of that's just kind of settling in. He had a couple wild pitches. And again, I miscredited those hits to Maddox Webb. They went to Maddox Miller. We do our job as a pitcher. We have a couple of outfielders not make a play. But instead of letting that elevate Maddox emotionally, He just settles in and ultimately strikes out the side. So essentially, he got five outs in the top of seven. So he got, again, two relatively routine fly balls to the outfield that he didn't get an out on. That is maturity. Now, granted, his dad pitched in the big leagues, you know, so he's been kind of prepared for this his entire life. But, man, what a redemptive moment for Maddox Miller against the team from his hometown. You know, now he's the one that can, you know, say things on Instagram. But, again, you go back and look at that. I mean, it's just – it's one of those kind of crazy things. You give up three hits there in the seventh when they've only had four the entire night. Pretty crazy stuff. And Maddox Miller is going to be a dude at Mississippi State. You might as well get ready for that. He's going to be a guy. And I think this is one of those big confidence moments. You remember Ryan McPherson last year, true freshman. We're cruising at Pearl, about to win the Governor's Cup. Man, that game's over, right? And next thing you know, Ryan leaves the ball up, and it goes for a ride. We lose the game. And then Ryan comes back and closes out Ole Miss and gets a save. He learns from the experience. I suspect you're going to see a similar path for Maddox Miller. You live and learn. And you learn, number one, how to control your own emotions. And listen, I don't care how well coached you are in high school and summer school ball. It's a different deal, man. When you're on the bump and you know D1 baseball is going to be there and they're going to have a recap of the game and it's going to be national news and the game that you pitch, you got to learn to get ready for that stuff too. You do. And Maddox Miller, again, kind of gets lost a little bit, I guess, in the narrative of this game. But how many freshmen do you know that when they've had a couple of plays behind them not go the way they should, would start kind of thinking, oh, my gosh, here we go again. But that's not what Maddox Miller did. And I wanted to kind of spend some time talking about that because I don't think anybody even really wrote about that in their postgame story. Maybe they did and I just missed it. But I think that's an important aspect of this. It's just the natural maturation of a very talented and young pitcher against the same team that he took the L against. He comes back and does a great job. Does a great job. And that's one of those situations, too, that can kind of prepare you for SEC play. Thomas Crabtree gets the loss in this ball game, and just kind of part of kind of what is to come. But so we split with Southern Miss, and you know that's probably a worst case scenario for us. Like at worst case, you want to split with them. But I think now when you look at this thing, okay, you've earned the split. You'd love to have had both games, obviously. But when you begin to think about where Southern Miss is in strength of schedule, RPI, and things like that, and give Coach Oz and those guys a lot of credit for really beefing up the non-conference. They did, and it's paid off a good bit. Guys, even though Southern Miss lost last night, number three RPI in the country. We're 10th. Ole Miss is 7th. You go win a series at Oxford this weekend, you get bonus points for winning on the road. State could be a top five RPI team come Monday. Could be. But the reality of this is getting that win over Southern is just something that helps. Man, they got the number one non-conference RPI in college baseball. They got the number three non-conference strength of schedule in college baseball. And so, yeah, they've played some good teams. You know, we're 10 in the RPI, but, you know, we've also got – we're 16-0 against quad four teams. And you say, Steve, really? Yeah, well, those three wins against Vanderbilt right now count as quad fours. And it doesn't matter who you play. It's about who you beat, right? And the good thing for State is that – we're in a great situation because, again, all four of our losses are quad four losses. And you look ahead of us, like Ole Miss 6-5 against the quad one. We played Vanderbilt, they played Texas, right? Auburn 4-3 against the quad one. You know, so it's not just us, right? And people are always trying to find some technicality like we're going to get screwed or something. But we just got to keep playing baseball. Simple as that. But, getting the win over Southern Miss, and yes, it's a split because it's a quality loss and a quality win. gives us the opportunity to continue to have Southern Miss kind of help us out a little bit. We were hopeful that Vanderbilt would, and I, you know, again, there's still, you know, 8 SEC weekends to go before all this is all over and said with, done with. But Brandon Nye, the ace from Vanderbilt, it was announced today that he is out for the year. We were hoping they would get him back and maybe get hot down the stretch. Vandy, 172 in the RPI. So that's just kind of how the cookie crumbles. But Vandy got to figure some things out. And then, you know, they were talking, thinking Shorey may be the number three starter. He, you know, he's out. Do they go back to Nate Taylor? I guess you may have to. I don't know, but Vandy's in a world of hurt. And we really need them to win some ball games to kind of help us. That's one of the most important things in the RPI is the teams you beat need to beat other people. And just see, just because I think you'll find it interesting, UCLA is the number 9 RPI team. We're 10, they're 9. And just ahead of them is Florida. Of course, Florida got swept by Alabama, and then they beat Florida State. We'll get to that shortly. And so, again, there's some RPI climbing opportunities ahead of us. Of course, you know, we'll have the opportunity. Auburn and Texas are 1 and 2. We will play them both. Yeah, we'll play them both. And, of course, you get Ole Miss this weekend. So, 3 of the top 6-7 RPI teams in the country right now are future opponents from Mississippi State. All right, time for our Close with Blair Player of the Day, brought to you by Close with Blair. My friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry, and for some of you, Blair is a friend you just hadn't met yet. Super nice guy, man. Think you'll enjoy kind of getting to know him and the services that he provides as the premier mortgage loan originator in the great state of Mississippi. He's licensed to practice in multiple states. Okay, it's important to understand. He's not just limited to Mississippi. 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. That goes directly to Blair. You get him directly, not a call center or receptionist. You can call or text that number today if you have mortgage needs, whether it's a refi or a purchase. So whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, the only name to know is Blair Chandler. 25 years of experience in this meat grinder of an industry. He knows how to get things done when so many other people don't, right? So it can be a complicated and convoluted process. Underwriters sometimes ask for a lot of things that don't seem necessary. Blair can help you with that. He'll construct your loan to give you the best chance of approval. He's a bulldog through and through. I like to keep business in the family whenever we can. So be sure and hit up Blair Chandler for your mortgage needs. And again, save that number on your phone under Mortgage Guy. You may forget the name. You won't forget the need. Blair Chandler at closeatblair.com. All right. We're going to go with Jack Bauer is our player of the day. Highly, highly, highly anticipated debut a few weeks back. Had a couple of innings that were a little bit shaky. And some of that, too, like everybody in this league can hit the fastball. Jack is learning to refine the craft. He is going to be a great pitcher here at Mississippi State. Thought he had a nice bounce-back performance last night. Got a great ovation from the crowd. You guys are expecting big things from him, as you should. But we got to let him walk before he can run, okay? And he is learning to pitch at this level. Last night was a step in the right direction. So let's hang in there with Jack. We know exactly what we're going to get long-term with him. It's just going to be a little bit of a growing process. But Jack Bauer credited with his first win last night, so we're going to honor him as our player of the day. Time for today's Top 10 List is always brought to you by Kalido Guitars. A lot of guitar in this one. C-A-L-I-D-O Guitars. C-A-L-I-D-O Guitars.com, just like it sounds. They specialize in guitars but carry a lot of stringed instruments. Whether you're looking for a banjo, a ukulele, a fiddle, violin, anything like that, they can accommodate you. But it is a guitar player's guitar shop. Whether you're looking for a beginner guitar without breaking the bank, you can do that. Maybe guitars for you. Maybe you're picking it back up again later in life. You don't want to break the bank or make a huge investment. You can do that at Kalido Guitars. Maybe it's time to upgrade your gear. You can do that too. Maybe you're a professional player. Maybe you're better than me. Maybe you're somebody that plays professionally. You gig regularly. You need to keep the gear fresh. You can find so many great things at ColitoGuitars.com, a Mississippi State owned and operated guitar shop. Daniel, the grandfather, kind of became his project, got his grandsons working for him. They're guitar players too, so they know what we want. Right? There's a lot of people out there that sell musical instruments, and it's just a job to them. It's a passion for the people at ColitoGuitars.com. We've had some great testimonials from some Boneyard listeners that have elected to make a purchase from Kalito Guitars. You could be next. We'll give you some incentive to do so. Promo code BSR, you know it well, beautiful Steve Robertson. We wanted to keep it simple. That gets you a 10% discount off their already low price. That gets you no sales tax unless you live in the great state of Texas, and no shipping. In addition to that, they'll make a 5% donation of your purchase price to the Bulldog Excellence Fund. Everybody wins. You win by getting new gear. They win by getting a new customer. And Mississippi State wins. And when State wins, we all win. So what are you looking for? A guitar, gig bags, a case, accessories. You can find everything you need at a discount at ColitoGuitars.com just by listening to this show. Be sure and check them out today. Okay, Brad hit us up. Brad says, Steve, I've been turned on to a lot of new bands. One of my favorites was Sleep Theory. And yes, we did a Sleep Theory list here recently. But Brad said, hey, is there another band out there that I might like that maybe I'm unfamiliar with, kind of in the same genre? Well, this one sounds a little bit like Breaking Benjamin with a little more of an edge, if that tickles your fancy, Brad. It's a band called Lansdowne. I don't know if you're familiar with them. If you're a serious XM Octane listener, you may have heard of Lansdowne. They've had a few tracks on that show or on that channel. It's a super cool band, man. I really like them. Now, just so you guys know too, they're going to be in Biloxi June 13th. It's a Saturday. And if we're not in Omaha, maybe we should all meet up there at the Sanctuary in Biloxi Saturday, 6 p.m., June 13th. So if you like the list that I'm going to give you today, you have a chance. Don't ever tease us with a chance to go see a great band down in Biloxi, right? They're from Boston, Massachusetts, but they don't sound like Boston. And I don't mean that in a negative way. It's not like, it's a Blue Collar Revolver is the name of their full-length LP. But they're very much a flashy band. I dig them. So we'll go quick today. Number 10, a track called Bury Me. Bury Me. And I think we'd start with that one. There is also a kind of a reimagined version of that song, acoustic version. I think you'll dig that. Number 9, ironically, a track called Mississippi. It's about a guy on the run. You know, we have it sometimes been a harbor. A safe harbor for people that maybe are fleeing something. That's kind of what this track is about. I think you'll enjoy it. And ironically, a band from Boston playing a song called Mississippi. Number 8, it's Release Me. And it kind of goes for, you know, the lyrical content kind of matches the title, kind of giving away the lead there in the song. I think you'll dig it, though. Number 7, Burn It Down. It's not the Five Finger Death Punch track. It's a little different. There have been a few songs out there called Burn It Down. This is an original track. I think you'll enjoy that. We're going to stick with the burn theme on number 6, Burn Brighter. And that's kind of all of us, right? We could all stand to be a little bit brighter. We could all stand to be a little more positive, be a little more productive. I think it's a track you'll enjoy. Number 5, this one's a little bit on the naughty side, just so you know. It's a track called Safe Word. Many of you will need a definition. Other people will know it intuitively. The Safe Word is a little different, shall we say. All right, number 4, and a lot of people dig this one. Off that Blue Collar Revolver album, it's One Shot. I don't know that it got enough airplay, to be honest with you. It's kind of got a little bit of an industrial sound to it, but... you know, basically, it's, again, a little bit on the naughty side, I guess you could say. You meet a girl, she has a drink, and I guess you get a little more attractive. You know, so she has one shot, and she's kind of interested. She has two shots. She's ready to dance. That sort of stuff, you know. So maybe some parental advisory on that one. Number three, great track called Rescue. I really, really dig this track. I think you guys will as well. It's very much a guitar track. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. It is very much a guitar track. Number two, love this one. This is anthemic, I think. It's a track called Conquer Them All. And basically, it's about Conquer Them All. Watch as they fall. There's so many people out there that are trying to bring us down. You know, I got some frenemies out there that have worked against me every step. They think I don't know, but I do, right? And that's one of those things you kind of learn to deal with in life is there's always somebody out there that is a little two-faced. It's true. I believe in being the genuine article. And quite honestly, if you've got beef with me, call me on the phone. We'll talk about it, good, bad, or indifferent. If you don't have my personal phone number, then you don't know me well enough to have a personal problem with me. And that's kind of how that works. But my frenemies kind of motivate me. They do, right? Because I know there's some people out there who would love to be in a position that I'm in. And I wouldn't trade. And it's interesting. There's a lot of people out there that there are things that go on and there are things that are going on. And they think I don't know, but they're wrong. I knew before they knew. I just don't run my mouth about those kinds of things, right? And there's some other changes that are coming down the way that people are unfamiliar with. There are wars that I've won that the foot soldiers are still battling in, if that makes sense to you, right? They're still arguing and thinking, hey, we're going to do this and we're going to win. You've already lost. You just don't know it yet. You just don't know it yet. Number one, though, this was my gateway track to this band, and I tell you, man, I love this song. Love this song. And basically, it's about a girl, and a lot of songs are. This is about a party girl, and she's a little bit wild for us, right? I haven't met many that were too wild for me, honestly. But this one, maybe she is. And that's kind of she lights me up just to watch me burn, right? We've had some people like that in our lives, right? And it says that she'll drink you under the table and dance upon it while you're out on the floor. Right? You've known some people like that. And there are a lot of people that aspire to be that person. They're not. You know, they'll sing a song and say, oh, that's me. It's not you. It's not you. Just like all your Instagram captions aren't you either, right? You just see it and steal it and go throw a picture on there. And, oh, look at this. Look at how poignant. You know, it's all so stupid. You're not fooling me. But nevertheless, I love this track. And I told some friends of mine a while back, like if we ever got together and did music, this is the song that I want to cover. I love the guitar on this. I love it. Like, there's just some runs in this that, to me, like the vocal just slides right into the pocket because the guitar composition is just so good, right? There's just something, like it didn't matter what the lyrics would be, right? The guitar is just so great. And that's an aspect of music that I really appreciate, is it people that can write such a great song that you sing along to it, but it wouldn't even matter what the lyrics were because the song is just so great. That's one of those. So the very first time I heard this, Lansdown was an unsigned band, and they're still struggling a little bit, I guess, with that. They've, of course, had the one big album, but they've released some singles and EPs and things of that nature that I think are very significant. And it's a band that I think deserves a bigger audience. And so I thought, hey, what if we did this? Let's do Lansdown for Brad, kind of introduce him. And then also, too, we'll promote that show, even if we don't go, right? Because I think this is a band that you're going to love that's coming to the coast. And all of you, or most of you, enjoy live music. And this is a band that I think is worthy of your attendance. And so in the event that we're not in Omaha, I plan to be there. But I do think that we'll be in Omaha. So you guys that can't make it to Omaha will have to go to Biloxi in my stead. and maybe get me a Lansdowne tank top or something. You know what I mean? I mean, just throw your boy a solid here because I've turned you on to a band that I think will scratch you where you itch a little bit. Like, there's just some bands out there that maybe don't have a ton of promotion behind them, and so you don't know a lot about them, you don't hear a lot about them, but they're really good bands, and that's where Lansdowne falls with me. An under-promoted band that is extremely talented, and I don't know why it hasn't come together for them. Maybe they've got bad management. I don't know. I know they have good material. So, Brad, let me know. Listen to Lansdowne. And hit me up and tell you what you think. And honestly, I think you could probably just put on Blue Collar Revolver. That album came out way back in 2011, 15 years ago. And they're still putting out music. They've had, I guess, 3 EPs since then. No Home But The Road is a very good one, too. And even has an appearance from Dan from Disturbed on guitar. On one of those tracks, if memory serves me correct. But I think you'll enjoy this band. And listen, they don't have, you know, they're not all image conscious. It's all about the music. And I think for those of you that really enjoy live music, be thinking about it. June 13th at the Sanctuary in Biloxi, Lansdowne coming in. There's going to be a lot of people that just go to the Sanctuary anyway. And they're going to be like, oh, there's a band playing. Oh, holy smokes, these guys are great. So you'll be ahead of the game because you'll already know some of the catalog when you go to the show. And again, if for some reason we're not still playing baseball, I'll see you down there. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy Samanti, my friend, on X at Dogmatic67, DAWGMATIC67. And you can find our great list on Spotify under that same handle. And of course, I'm on all forms of social media at ScoutSteveR. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, we love Campus Bookmart. We do. We love them. Why? Because they have the things we want. If you're about to buy a gift for a Mississippi State fan, don't overthink it. Just get some more Mississippi State merch. Whether it's apparel, whether it's gift ideas, whether it's everything you need to detail out a fan cave, you can find it at Campus Bookmart. Miss Kathy Brown does an amazing job outfitting that store with all the latest wares of Mississippi State. If there's something out there that's cool, that's got a state logo on it, she's going to get it. Yeah, she is. So many great things. Those people feel like family to me. They really do. And they will for you. I get a complimentary hug every time I go. I don't think that's just me, but maybe it is. But if you can make it to town and see their smiling faces, let me encourage you to do so. Very easy to find. Just turn at the Trooper Station off 182, moseying around toward campus. Campus Bookmart will be right there on your left before you get to campus. And so on your way to any of our historic venues, you can stop by, get some brand new Mississippi State gear, wear it to the game. If you can't make it to town, visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. That is BSR. You know it well. Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. Let's look around the SEC. What happened last night? And as I told you, 4 of 16 teams lost. The first one. Kennesaw State gets Georgia. Georgia, number 7 in the country. Kennesaw State now 11-10 overall and 2-4 in the league. They just jumped on Georgia early and just kind of let it ride. It was a 5-0 ball game before we had a very eventful seventh inning. Guys, it's 5-0, and Kennesaw puts up four more runs to make it 9-0 in the seventh. And you begin to wonder, is Kennesaw State, are they fixing a mercy rule Georgia at Foley? Well, no, Georgia strikes back and gets 4, and then Kennesaw with 1 in the eighth, Georgia with 3 in the bottom half of the eighth, a scoreless night, and the ballgame ends 10-7. 10-7. Ryan Wynn goes 2-for-2 for the Bulldogs. But yeah, that's one of those losses too. Kennesaw State's had some good years. This does not look like it's going to be one of those years. We'll see. But that could be a little bit of an RPI anchor for them. And that's one of those things as we begin to kind of think about every game matters for us and our opponents. Yes, we'll have the opportunity to play Georgia and Starkville, but any losses they pick up in non-conference perhaps gives us a better seed in the NCAA tournament. Florida fell from the ranks of the top 25. They went to Jacksonville, Florida to take on Florida State. And it's Florida that comes out ahead in this thing and really pitched it well. And they didn't pitch well against Alabama. They pitched it well in the midweek. Russell Sandifer gets the win. He goes three innings, allows no runs, and gets four Ks in the ballgame. Florida wins it 5-0. They limit Florida State to four hits. Seminoles also had a couple of errors that played a part in this thing, but 5-0's your ball game. The big inning was the bottom of the seventh. It was a 1-0 ball game until the seventh, and Florida puts up a four spot and then coasts to a 5-0 win. USC Upstate gave it all they had, man, and nearly pulled it off. But they come up short on the road at Tennessee. I don't know what's happening with Tennessee. Run-wise, I don't get it. But USC Upstate scores one in the first, and that's where it stayed until the seventh. Tennessee gets two in the seventh. Blaine Brown coming through there with a big hit. It's 2-1 Tennessee going to the ninth. And then USC Upstate scores in the ninth to tie it. And everybody in Knoxville is like, oh, my gosh. And then Blake Grimmer hits a walk-off home run to beat USC Upstate. Two-run shot there in the ninth to win it 4-2. And USC Upstate's 12-14. Not a huge surprise, but North Carolina beat South Carolina. South Carolina is now 500 again, 13-13 overall, 1-5 in the Southeastern Conference. They get up early, 1-0. And then the Tar Heels answer right back, number 13th ranked North Carolina, with two in the bottom of the first. And the game just kind of drug along until the sixth. UNC tacks on another one and then blows it open in the seventh with six runs. And you know that South Carolina bullpen is rough. You can only begin to imagine what it's like in midweek. They win it 9-1. South Carolina held it as five hits in the ballgame. Bo Hollins, the first baseman, had two of those five hits. Walker McDuffie gets the win for North Carolina. And then Owen Hull with a 3-for-5 night. Also a solo shot to go with that. Got to be rough. Murray State, they were America's team, the Racers, last year when they made it to Omaha. Of course, they beat Ole Miss. And they win that regional and then somehow win the Super and get there. And everybody's like, dude, this is great. Kentucky mercy rules them last night, 14-4, and it was all Wildcats early. Well, the Racers get up 1-0, and then before anybody can feel good about that, it is 7-1 after two in favor of Kentucky. They try to answer back, but then eventually Kentucky blows it open with six in the sixth, and then they close it out there in the seventh. What's interesting about this game, too, is you don't see a lot of line scores that have 14 runs and five hits. Kentucky had five hits in the game and scored 14 runs. It was an absolute walk-a-thon by Murray State midweek pitching. Obviously, you know about Mississippi State's 12-0 shellacking of Southern Miss. Maybe you're unaware of the fact that Arkansas, 15-2 winners, mercy rule game in seven against Central Arkansas. The Bears, 13-12. Arkansas, still fourth ranked and 19-7, 4-2 in the league. Camden Cozill, the shortstop, they moved him around a little bit. It appears that the lineup that they've used against us, they've kind of stuck with. He goes 2-for-3 in that ballgame. Parker Cole with the win. He was the guy that pitched against us in relief. He's 1-0 on the season. Memphis and Ole Miss. Maybe you've kept up with this. The Tigers, who were 6-16 going into the game, beat Ole Miss, and really nothing fluky about this thing. Ole Miss gets up 1-0 in the third, and then Memphis takes the lead in the fourth for good, 2-1. In the fifth, the Tigers get two more. The game kind of stays there until the seventh. Ole Miss gets one there to make it a 4-2 ball game. As we head to the eighth, and you think, well, Memphis will find a way to blow it. No, they don't blow it. They pick up a pair of insurance runs in the eighth and then cruise to a 6-2 victory. Ole Miss with just four hits in the game. Four. On the road at Memphis. Now, we've had to go up there sometimes and play a funky game. And you know as well as I do, with so many Ole Miss alums in Memphis, there was probably a lot of red and blue there. A lot of them went home disappointed. Memphis ups their record to 7-16. Ole Miss falls to 19-7. Colin Reuter, the catcher from Ole Miss, 2-for-3 for them. And then Jacob Deans wins it in relief for Memphis. Michael Gupton goes 2-for-3 with a solo home run for Tigers, the Tigers in the win. Alabama kind of quietly putting it together, but I'm still not sold on these guys. They take down Austin Peay, who's now 12-13 on the year, by a score of 6-2. It was a tie ball game into the fifth, and then Alabama scores three in the bottom half, and then tacks on one in the eighth to win 6-2. Bryce Fowler, 2-for-4 in the ball game, one of the hitting heroes. And how about Missouri? And just when you leave them for dead, of course, they get one win over the weekend against Tennessee, and then they take down Illinois. Now, granted, Illinois is not a baseball power. Don't get me wrong. But they're 12-11. Missouri now 17-8. And, you know, Missouri wants to show some progress. I think they have this year. Are they going to be able to compete in the SEC? That I'm not going to get on board with. Because I don't think they're committed to it. I think they're so over-leveraged in men's basketball, and that's kind of their identity, that they're not going to spend a lot of money on baseball. But the Tigers and the Illini both score a run there in the sixth, and Missouri makes it hold up, and they win 5-1. A couple of errors for Illinois in that first inning caused some problems. Vanderbilt, getting bad news about Nye. Vanderbilt's 14-12. And any win they get is a good thing for us. They mercy ruled Tennessee Tech. They walked it off there in the eighth. But it was a game early. Like, we get to the middle of the fourth inning. Tennessee Tech is up 4-3. And from there, it was all Commodores. They get three in the bottom half of the fourth, five in the fifth, two in the sixth, and then walk it off in the eighth with two more to win 15-5, 18 hits. For Vanderbilt as well. Mike Mancini goes 3-for-4 in the ball game with three RBI. Auburn, no trouble at all with South Alabama. You know, South Al beat Alabama earlier this year. Auburn's now 20-4 overall. South Alabama, a solid mid-major, especially here in the South. They're 16-9. They were never in this ball game. It was 3-0 before anybody got comfortable. And from there, Auburn just continued to extend. 10 runs on 12 hits. South Alabama just four hits in the ballgame. Two of those, the designated hitter, Paxton Bigby. But Chris Rembert for Auburn, very talented player, 3-for-4 in the ballgame with four RBI and a home run. A name to know. Texas A&M, not much trouble here. They got hit around the yard a little bit, but Houston Christian couldn't put a lot together. Jeremy Rader had three hits for Houston Christian, but Texas A&M gets one in the first, one in the second, one in the fourth, and then two in the sixth to make it 5-0. Houston Christian avoids a shutout with a run in the eighth. But, again, not much trouble. But they did give up some hits. And you're going to do that in midweek, but I'm still not sold on A&M. I'm not. Upset in the Lone Star State last night. Houston hosted Texas. And, man, it just felt like this was going to be a seven-inning game because it's 7-0 in the fifth, Texas. And you're like, this thing is over. Wrong. Houston gets three in the fifth. So we know we're probably going to play a little bit longer. It's a scoreless sixth. And then in the seventh, Houston gets three more. Now, all of a sudden, it's a 7-6 ball game. And Texas bullpen absolutely implodes. That's the biggest concern about Texas. They have great frontline pitching. They can swing it a little bit. And then Houston gets three in the eighth to win it 9-7. Guys, Texas was held to three hits in this game. Three against midweek pitching from Houston. Harrison Beauchelet gets the win for the Cougars with 3 2/3 inning pitch, four strikeouts, and no earned runs. And then Easton Winfield, 3-for-4 with a solo shot for the Cougs. Interesting ballgame. Louisiana Tech gave LSU some trouble early, extremely early. They get two in the first. LSU ties it, and then LSU with five there in the second kind of gets some separation. They add on two more in the fifth to make it a 9-2 ball game. Tech tacks on some, but eventually LSU mercy rolls them as Tech just kind of runs out of pitching. And they score six in the eighth to walk this thing off. So that's your Tuesday. But again, you know, some interesting stuff, some interesting losses, you know, around the conference. And you know, people say midweeks don't matter. Well, they do. Whenever it gets to be NCAA tournament selection time, they absolutely matter. And we're going to spend more time talking about that, you know, in the weeks ahead. But I wanted to take just a quick look right now. We kind of touched on some RPI stuff earlier. And again, a lot of this will come into focus. It'll mean a lot more come the month of May. It will. But we have to manage every game to win. Right now, Auburn, the number one RPI team in the country. And, of course, we play them. Texas, number two. So they're missed three. Florida State, we won't see them unless it's in the postseason. Four, Virginia, five. Missouri State at six. Yeah, they got a couple quad one wins and three quad two wins. And so they'll be one of those teams that might hang around a little bit and maybe be a 15 or 16 seed because they like to reward those mid-major teams. They'll likely win the Conference USA. And we talk a little bit about Ole Miss too, but I just don't think Ole Miss is going to have enough wins. You know, it's a lot of baseball to be played. But I think in the end, you know, when you're that launch angle offense where it's kind of feast or famine, people tend to figure that out, and you get the best coaches in the country breaking down film. And so those things are all important. But we talk about how important it is, you know, for us, you know, to kind of break down our numbers. And again, there's a lot of baseball left to be played. But we've won 8 of the last 10 and 5 in a row. We hadn't lost a home game since last year. Maybe you're unaware. But we're 10 in RPI, 10 in non-conference RPI, 55 in strength of schedule. And you start, you know, just kind of working through all this. You know, Troy is a team that right now is at 61. They could potentially be a top 50 RPI team. We need Delaware and some of those teams to do well in their league. Hofstra is 6-13 right now. Not great, guys. Not great. That RPI is going to hover above 150 probably throughout the year. I liked that team. For some reason, it just hadn't come together. But Delaware, another team in Conference USA that might factor a little bit. Austin Peay's at 110. Arizona State's at 25 RPI. Virginia Tech's at 23 RPI. You got wins over both. So you're rooting for them. UCLA is a 9 RPI. That'll all take care of itself. Of course, so they're missing three. Lipscomb's at 143. Tulane all the way down to 214. We need them to win some games too. Arkansas's RPI is 49. You know that's only going to get better. Arkansas will likely be a top 15 RPI when it's all said and done. Jackson State's RPI, 294. Vandy, 171. They were 220. And as mentioned, we've got, you know, Ole Miss coming up with 7 in the RPI. And then Grambling at 270. It'll be the worst RPI. We'll probably drop in the RPI after winning that game. Then Georgia comes to Dirty Noble Field next weekend. That's April Fool's weekend. Highly anticipated series. We'll see how they do on the road. They did good against A&M last week, but that's another important one. UAB, a midweek game here April 7th. That's a top 50 RPI game. They're currently at 44. They're 15-10. Tennessee at 24 RPI, Samford 138. Believe it or not, South Carolina is still a top 100 RPI. They won't be by the time we get there. Then we get Memphis here. LSU's coming in. You think, man, that'll be an RPI climbing opportunity. Right now they're 105. Governor's game, and then we go to Texas, who's 2 in the RPI. Nichols comes here May 5th. 121, and then Auburn at 1, and then A&M at 17. So you look at the month of May, there are plenty of RPI opportunities for us to improve our postseason pecking order, right? We have an opportunity in the month of May against some great teams. And again, I think the RPI, it won't maybe not hold exactly, but those are going to be quality RPI teams when it's all said and done. There's a good chance Auburn and Tennessee will probably stay in the top 10, top 15. And so just by playing them, you get better. And just by playing them, your RPI gets better. But we need those wins. So if we truly want to be a national championship contender, we got to have a great May. A lot of baseball between now and then, but our RPI climbing opportunities in May may be as good as anybody in the country. And so the reason I say that is once we get through the month of April, even if we're right around 12, 13 or something like that, there's plenty of room for upward mobility. And that's what you need to understand. We just got to keep playing games. Got to keep winning games. You got to avoid the big loss. And you heard me talk about those midweek games. UAB, outside of the governor's game, may be our most difficult non-conference game in the midweek left this year. So we'll work through all that stuff. But, you know, we just got to keep winning. Just keep winning. And, yeah, that's fair to say. UAB is the most difficult. And it's so crazy to think we're already talking in those terms. I mean, guys, we're 25 games into this thing, right? It's crazy to think about that. I mean, because baseball, it happens so quickly. Like today's Wednesday. Bulldogs are going to hit the road to Oxford tomorrow. And then we're going to have a three-game series there. And then next week we're right back, and we put together a pretty lengthy homestand. You know, we'll have Grambling and then the Georgia game and then Georgia series, pardon me, and UAB. So, you know, an eight-game homestand once we get back from Oxford. So you have plenty of opportunities, a couple big weekends. I would encourage you, if you haven't done so, already start securing your tickets, because it's going to be a difficult ticket to get for both Georgia and Tennessee weekends. As you guys know about the attendance numbers, and everybody's kind of gotten behind that as of late, you're going to have some more top 20 crowds. You're probably going to have some more top 10 crowds. And by the time this season's over, we may own the whole top 35, not just the top 25. And you're a part of that. A lot of exuberance, shall we say, within the fan base. But there's some huge games coming up. Huge. We got to start this weekend. Those road series wins mean so incredibly much, because you just get more by winning on the road. That does more for your RPI than anything. Avoiding the bad loss and winning on the road, those things are so incredibly significant. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle, bar none, especially when you want to bring a large group to town, and you should. We did it. We had a great time. It was so nice to have everybody under one roof. Things just work better, right? Instead of having to text people and get everybody on the phone and track everybody down when they're in Airbnbs or hotels all over the county or the Golden Triangle, you can have everybody under one roof. You can eat when you want to eat. You can order some food together. You can cook together. You got a full-service kitchen. You can drink together if you're so inclined. I did not partake, but there is a wet bar there. There is a fabulous back porch area. Huge back porch. Plenty of room for everybody to spread out, play games, whatever you'd like to do. And then that fire pit area, great. Even during summer nights, there's just something about sitting around a fire that makes a lot of sense. Six bedrooms, two, soon to be three baths, plenty of parking. It's the old renovated country club clubhouse out past the Highlands, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. You can do your tailgating right there and not have to lug everything to campus. And then you don't have to lug it back either. Maybe you want to do that, maybe you don't. But the reality of it is, this is a place that's available to you. It's open 365 days a year, provided it's not booked. Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page auto-populates. You can peruse all the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guest. Some booking options are going to pop up too. You can go Airbnb. You can go VRBO. That's the route you want. Maybe you've got a credit. I don't know. But if you want to save some money, we'll give you a credit. Book through the Evolve website. and use promo code BSR10. BSR10, the number 10, gets you 10% off your stay at this fine establishment. Make some memories with the people you love the most. Life is short. You need to plan a trip like this, and you need to do it sooner rather than later. It's March now, so maybe be thinking ahead about maybe some postseason baseball, some football, perhaps some holiday stuff. Maybe you've got some vacation time you want to spend this summer. Maybe a trip to Disney or the Redneck Riviera is not in the cards, and maybe you just want to get everybody together, do something cool. You can do it at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Be sure and check it out today. All right, we've had some roster attrition on the basketball side of things, and I'll get you up to date on that. And, you know, we're not going to talk a lot of basketball these days because I know it can be depressing, but we are in the roster reconstruction mode for both teams. And we have had a trio of players that have announced their intentions to enter the portal between the men's and women's side. I guess it's four now. No, it's still three. So center Jamarion Davis Fleming, that's a big loss if you ask me. I thought he showed some real flashes, and I felt like that's a building block for the future. He has declared his intentions to go in. The portal's not open yet, but he is letting people know once the portal opens, he is going in. Today, Delquan Warren, a guy that really has been a good defender for us, but maybe it hadn't come together on the offensive end, he is also planning to enter. And on the women's side, guard Awa Fain. We discussed her a few days ago. So three players already announcing their intentions to go in. And we'll keep that tracker updated on the front of jeanspage.com. You don't have to be a subscriber to view that. Mississippi State football now four commitments. The class currently rated 31st by 247 Sports and 27 in the composite. I believe that's correct. And two of these in-staters, Javarius Griffin, we kind of touched on him briefly. I really like him as a take. Right at 6 foot, 175 pounds, he can absolutely fly. 247 has him rated as an 88. He is an 87.5 in the composite. I think that's too low. I'm not saying he's a top 10 player. I think he's a top 15 player. But I think he fits exactly what Mississippi State wants to do. Eight offers to his credit. And there was a lot of heat about Ole Miss early on. Well, I think a lot of that, too, is just Ole Miss got out first. So it made a lot of sense. Chance to play SEC football close to home. But, yeah, he picked state over offers from Houston, Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, Old Dominion, Toledo, Tulane, and Jackson State with interest from many others. But, yeah, he is your fourth and most recent commitment. And, you know, we'll see how things kind of play out here. But, I like where things sit. Is that right? I think that we've got another one since then. I don't have to think about it. He's in the 2026 class. He reclassified from 2027. He was planning to go to prep school when they kind of figured out that instead of him having to wait and graduate in December, he had enough credits now. Take a couple of online courses, and he could be here at Riverdale High School out of Murfreesboro, Tennessee. So he commits to state just a few days ago. And over 17 other offers. And he is rated an 86 by 247 and in the composite. And a lot of that, too, is because it was early in a 2027 recruiting cycle. And so he didn't have a chance to really have upward mobility with the ranking. But this is a good get. He is a guy, obviously, that'll be here in June now. But let's just kind of run through the offer list here. And I think in the end, if he had stayed in 27, you know, he probably is a guy that gets elevated to closer to a four-star status, if not four. But he got offers from Purdue, Auburn, Georgia Tech, Kentucky, Louisville, Maryland, North Carolina, Ole Miss, West Virginia, Southern Miss, Washington State, Liberty, Toledo, Tulane, UConn, Western Kentucky, and interest from Nichols. And I'm sure Nichols would take him if he wanted to go. But that's a late addition to the class. Now, Kamarion Morgan was a guy that we were chasing. We thought we were competing with Auburn. And then earlier this week, we find out that Virginia Tech was back in the mix and Missouri. Missouri signed him yesterday. And so that's a position of need. We could use another edge, and that's one of the things that we've talked about for some time. We like what we have, but we could use another player. And I had somebody tell me that's probably the one thing we need most of all between now and June. Even if it's just a good edge. And there's not going to be a lot of great edges left, but we've got to get somebody out there. Now, with Zach Arnett's offense, I'm never going to worry about pressure because he knows how to get pressure. And Tyler Lockhart is a guy that in certain packages we could put him out there in an edge because he is so long and physical. And he can create some chaos. But, again, we feel good about where we are, but that's the one thing you wonder a little bit about is – we really needed another edge. We needed an edge with some production, even if it's somebody from the G5 level. And guys don't have a lot of leverage right now. So, again, I still think we're going to get another edge. And we still, honestly, one of the things that you forget about is, we can put guys on the designated student athlete list. And that, it gives you some room to work, and right? And so we've still got a handful of spots. Lebby talked last week about, we needed an edge and probably a best available type guy. That'll happen, right? But we're not going to turn down great players. There's not a lot of great players out there, but if we can find players that help this team, we do have some spots to work with. But we're not going to sign a guy just to sign a guy. That's important to understand as we kind of move forward into this thing. But, yeah, not getting Morgan is a loss. And he was a guy, too, back before he had his academic issue, the state was all over him. And then he commits to Virginia Tech, couldn't get into school here. So to his credit, he files an appeal with the Student Affairs Committee at Baylor, wins the appeal, gets his grade back, and then he's now academically eligible to transfer. And then, of course, with him being a four-star and a guy that had some production at Baylor, a lot of people came out of the woodwork, right? And after I first talked to him, when he was at that point only planning to visit Auburn and Mississippi State, it even felt like then that we were trailing Auburn. So at no point did it really feel like that we were going to get him. We were just kind of in the mix. We set up an official visit with him, but now that's not going to happen because he signed with Missouri. And Missouri's done a good job in recent years. When it's come to edge rushers, they have. They've done a good job getting pressure. And so that's where things sit with him. We will have the opportunity to speak to some more Mississippi State players on Thursday. We spoke to a few guys this past Thursday, and newcomers, Jarden Gilbert, we call him JG, transferred in from LSU, had an opportunity to speak with him. He's excited. He says he really loves the secondary. Marcus Williams transferred in from Rice, another safety, a little bit different than JG, but a guy that we're excited about. Sam West, tight end, now the old guy in the room, only been here 1 year, but now he has an opportunity now to kind of be a leader within that group and kind of teach some of these tight ends what's expected. You've got some younger guys, obviously, but he was a good interview. He really was. And then Zion Reagans, a speedster, a guy that's very close with Brennan Thompson, going to look to fulfill that same role, transferred in from Oklahoma. We had a chance to speak to him. We don't know who we're going to speak to tomorrow, but all that content will be available for free over jeanspage.com. And we actually go to press conferences and that sort of stuff and do our best to get you guys video and transcripts of everything. Just because we want you to stay abreast of things, and I don't think you should have to pay for that big room stuff. So that's just kind of what we do. But a lot of things out there, a lot of stories out there. But it's important, I think, for you guys to read these things and kind of be apprised of what's going on. I know we're all excited about baseball, and we're kind of bummed about basketball. But football is obviously something that is still on our radar and something that you guys need to be apprised of. But are you guys keeping up with the tournament? We're doing updates kind of occasionally, right? It's just how it is, right? And it'd be another exciting weekend of baseball. That's the thing we always want is to be able to get out of the first weekend. We didn't even make the first weekend this go around. But, again, some interesting games left. So Duke and St. John's will play the first Sweet 16 game. Is that correct? Is that right? And St. John's, of course, winners at the buzzer over Kansas. And then, of course, now Kansas making a coaching change. So Duke and St. John's, that's Rick Pitino going up against Duke. And, of course, all this news about Herbert Davis getting fired at North Carolina. People wondered if they would go against the family. They did, for sake of the family. But would you be surprised if St. John's beat Duke? I don't think you would. I think it'd be good for the game. Michigan State's got UConn. That's a 2-versus-3 game. That could be a fun one. Of course, Michigan State destroys North Dakota State and then beats Louisville, as they should. I mean, the chalk holds there. But Michigan State, UConn should be a fun one for those of you that enjoy this. And Iowa, of course, upsets number one seed Florida 73-72. I don't know if you kept up with that one, but like the kid that hit the three-pointer to win it earlier in the ball game, he threw a punch, and they gave a technical foul to both players. But it seemed like, was he punching the ball to get it out, or was he punching the player? I don't know. But Todd Golden wasn't happy. I'm sure he wasn't happy at the result of this game. So now Iowa will take on Nebraska. Nebraska eliminated Vanderbilt in their most recent game. So that could be an interesting one, right? Illinois versus Houston. There's a lot of people out there that think Houston's going to win this thing. And they certainly can. They're the highest seed now in their quadrant of the bracket with Florida out of it. So the path to the Final Four and to a championship in Indianapolis gets paved a little bit better for Houston. On the other side of the bracket, we'll start at the top. Arizona will take on Arkansas. Are you rooting for Arkansas? You know, they had a barn burner of a game against High Point. You know, High Point, of course, upset Wisconsin and nearly pulled it off against Arkansas. But Arkansas survives, and good for them. They can hang another Sweet 16 banner. Arkansas thinks they're Kentucky when it comes to men's basketball. Just kind of the Bill Clinton years were good to them. But that could be an interesting one. Arizona, a lot of people think they're the odds-on favorite to win this thing. I think Arkansas could be trouble for them. Texas is still rolling too. You know, Texas, a team that was in the play-in game, they take care of NC State, and they just never slowed down. They knock off BYU, and then they get Gonzaga, which is always great. I love when Gonzaga lose. I'm a Gonzaga hater. I'll be honest with you. I like it when they lose. I think they're kind of they're good, but I mean, come on. Now Texas will play Purdue. Texas already has 3 wins in a tournament. They may be starting to feel like, hey, we belong here. And, of course, they were an 11 seed. I mean, just barely make it into the play-in game. And I hear they are in a Sweet 16 ready to hang a banner. And Purdue has been pretty good. And they knocked off Miami by 10, but just kind of part of the deal. But it'll be interesting to see what Texas and Purdue look like. Of course, the winner will play the winner of Arizona-Arkansas. Final quadrant of the bracket, Alabama will take on Michigan. Michigan has played exceptionally well. Neither of their games have been competitive, but that's kind of the blessing of being a one seed. You blow out a 16 seed. I say blow it out. It was a game for maybe a half against Howard, and then they get the Billikens of St. Louis 95-72. Of course, the Billikens upset Georgia. Minor upset, but they did. They pounded them 102-77. So Michigan kind of earned their way in here. Alabama knocks off Hofstra and then knocks off Texas Tech and 90-65. So it wasn't like it was a close one. Tennessee still alive too. The Volunteers get Mamba of Ohio and then beat Virginia, who was the 3 seed. So it'll be the 6-seeded Volunteers against Iowa State, the number 2 seed, who eliminated Kentucky. So that's where we are in the bracket. And, we'll see how things go. But I know many of you are just like, Steve, if we're not in it, I don't care. I'll watch the championship if we don't have a baseball game, right? I mean, I'm kind of the same way. I'm a bit of a hater. But I do enjoy the first couple of rounds, like just because so many crazy things happen, right? I love that. I love chaos when we're not involved in it, unless we're the ones creating the chaos. But I love to see like a blue blood team get beat by like a 15 or something. It's great stuff, man. It is. And it's great for the game. It's great for college. And that's one of the reasons that people love those first couple of days of the tournament is because sometimes David can beat Goliath. Then they can't win a championship. But remember, Butler made a run here several years back that made it awfully interesting. And so everybody's always hoping for that Valpo Bruce Dry moment, Bryce Drew moment. There's always that aspect of things. That's exciting. It is. It's exciting. It's a fun part of college athletics is that anybody can win on any given day. And there's a lot of those kids and their goal is to win a first-round tournament game and just kind of see where things go from there. But we love a little magic. We do. And I think it's one of the best things about life when something unexpected happens, like when the chalk doesn't hold. You love an upset and everything, especially when it comes to the tournament because there is the finality of the whole thing. It's not like Appalachian State beating Michigan in a big house because Michigan still had 11 other games to play. But when you beat somebody and end their season, like that's a flex. It truly is. So I enjoy that aspect of it. I love the fact that when some of these smaller schools beat some school and end their season. I mean, it's just the way that people rush the floor, the emotions of the moment, it's all incredible. It truly, truly is. And now we're in a situation now where there's just not a lot of Cinderellas left. Probably the closest thing to it would be Texas, right? Because, again, they come through the play-in game. So we hope that works out, you know, just because even though Texas, obviously, is a school with a big budget, it's not like, High Point or somebody like that, you know, or Coppin State from 30 years ago now, you know, making some racket in the tournament. We'll be back on Friday. We'll give you a long, in-depth look at Ole Miss baseball. Of course, if you're a Gene Spade subscriber, you can already read what Mike Bianco had to say about his team and about Mississippi State. And about why we're having so many midweek upsets in college baseball. He gives his thoughts on that too. So these conversations are very cordial. And so I hope that you'll enjoy, if you've enjoyed the series, it's one that we picked up last year. I've had a lot of fun doing them. So I hope that you take the opportunity to kind of get to know that content a little bit. If you haven't done so, go to DutyNobleBook.com and you can get signed copies of all my sports titles. Of course, that's Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dogpile, and The Dude, and the personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls, which right now, they've told me for the last month, is the best-selling book in the catalog. And I appreciate that more than I can share. If you're in recovery or you just like an underdog story or you need some encouragement in life, that book may provide that for you. Be sure and check it out. And again, sign copies. And I just had to sign 17 cases of books. Yeah, we got some new vendors that are picked it up, and it's going to be in the Max now. And it's super exciting to have the Max carry the books. I'm a big proponent of the Max, and I've always dreamed of having my books in there. And now The Dude and When the Bottom Falls are available for immediate purchase at the Max in Meridian. So be sure and check that out next time that you're down there. And it is, again, quite the honor to be there. Come float with us at True West Float Spa of Starkville. You can dial 662-268-7601. Matter of fact, I'm going to float as soon as I get this show uploaded. Kind of bruised some ribs the other day. I just need to get in there and just kind of get comfortable again, right? It's uncomfortable having bruised ribs. It is. It's really, really uncomfortable. So hopefully this will help. If you're a person that suffers from chronic anxiety or pain or you just need a break, we may be able to help you. We've helped many others. Floating about 120 a week, 120, 150 a week. Come see what all the fuss is about. And again, you can dial 662-268-7601 to speak directly to my wife, Dana. Follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, all that good stuff. And for more information, call Dana or visit truerest.com. If you book online and you're a new floater, be aware you need to be there 30 minutes early. When you book, you're going to get an email with some instructions. And some people just kind of blow that off. If you get there after your appointment time, we're going to have to reschedule you. That's important to understand. And if you're a new floater, your appointment time is 30 minutes prior to your float because you got to watch a video and fill out a form and all that kind of stuff. And so you can save yourself a little time and effort by filling out the form before you get there. But it's very important you get there to go over all the instructions. And come join us over at jeanspage.com. Now 50% off the annual subscription price. Be sure and check that out. A lot going on, and nobody's going to give you more extensive coverage of Mississippi State baseball than we are. It's a passion for us. We love doing it. We'll have in-person coverage from the weekend at Oxford. And then, of course, you know, we'll make it through this big homestand, and then we'll be on the road again. We'll head to South Carolina. We'll head to Texas. We'll head to Texas A&M. You know, that's what we do. You only get five of these road series, and we'll knock two of them out. We've already done Arkansas. We'll do Ole Miss this weekend. And then some lengthy trips ahead of us. But we love being your eyes and ears. We love being your boots on the ground, because you need representation there. You deserve to know, when we've been a big ball game, you know, what your coach was thinking, what your players were thinking. And we provide that to you. And again, we make that stuff free. So even if you're not a subscriber, which you should be, you can keep up with all of our baseball game day coverage and all of our big room coverage, like all the press conferences with Jeff Lebby and players. We make all that stuff free, print and video. So if you're looking to learn more about your sports programs, you can find it at jeanspage.com. And the longest running, most successful Mississippi State website in the history of Al Gore's internet. Come by and check it out and join our merry band of misfits over on the message boards. And listen, I wish you guys the best. Today's my mom's birthday. Mom, I don't know if you're listening. My mom, Beth Kraut, has been a great mom to me, and I sent her flowers today. And she also had like some medical tests and that kind of stuff. You know, unfortunately, moms don't live forever. You know, moms have to go to the doctor as they get a little bit older. And so it worked out like she had all these tests on her birthday, and she gets home and she's got flowers from me and Dana, the kids and the grandkids. And it makes me happy to do that sort of thing, to bring joy into the lives of the people that I care about. I don't get to see my mom enough. I'll be down there next week on Monday for a speaking engagement. And for those of you that are in AA, you probably know about that. Friend of mine restarted the AA meeting in my hometown, and so I'm going down there to support that meeting, and we'll have a speaker meeting on Monday. So if you're in recovery and you're in the Pine Belt and neck of the woods, you'd like to come by and hear what I have to say, you can do so, and you can contact me privately for more information. That's going to do it for today, man. Hope you guys have a great week. We'll be back with you on Friday, but until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.